fucking
all right, stop talking.
You sounded like Boomhauer for a second.
Welcome to Tiny Table 3. We're back after a long hiatus because we adulted. And everybody's asleep because they went out and got drunk last night.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired, too.
Anywho, this week...
You guys...
It's Kurt's birthday, fighting. By the way.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Kurt.
It's not my birthday. It was my birthday like 3 weeks ago. And everyone keeps on telling everybody it's my birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah. This week, we have our Naked Wrestling is about breaking up with a superhero or a villain. Would you do it? Could you do it? How would you do it? Our weekly wrap-up talks a little bit about Civil War. We try to avoid spoilers for the sake of Small Stacks and Game of Thrones. They did not avoid spoilers for my sake because I don't give a shit. I love Game of Thrones, but I didn't care this time. Our right game is about social media and...
relationships.
The centipede?
No, it's... I was going to talk... I was going to get more professory with talking about Baudrillard and the Simulacra, but I didn't.
Good, because I already still, felt dumb.
Milo's brain already hurt. Nerd Mixtape is about Axel DC, and then your... mediocre advice from a decent human being is about the book Quiet and how to take your quietness.
Take your hands out of your pants.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, then we have our final words where we have a little bonus segment about the current Lex Luthor character in Batman versus Superman. So don't miss the ending. It is probably the most animated we get this whole time.
Look for the video online.
Yeah. And Haley Reinhardt's album just dropped.
Stop.
I hate you.
No one cares.
This is Cloud
Sophomore
City.
Album's called Better. It's available
this
now.
Is Cloud City.
iTunes,
I'm at
Amazon.
geek_is_in. I'm ignoring you.
And this is Small Stack. I'm at Small Stack, which is my Twitter handle. You can also find me at tinytable3.com. And was there somewhere else they could find me? I don't know. Who cares?
And this is Milo, and I'm at Milito's Guitar. I'm extremely tired. And then there's a Creeps.
There's a Creeps on the couch this time. Do you want to say hello, Creeps McGreeps?
Yeah, hello.
McGreeps.
We have a guest on the couch. He's a surprise guest, and I think for the most part we kept him secret until one part, so you either can see the Easter egg or we're going to edit it out.
I'm going to edit it out. Totally.
But he goes by the handle Creeps McGreeps.
No, I don't.
He does. See, Creeps don't know they're Creeps.
And this is Tiny Table 3. You can find us at tinytable3.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all the things. And that's pretty much all I got for today.
Yep. That's it. Shut up. Stop.
I like doing that because Milo gets mad.
Pisses me off.
Oh, all right, let's get this shit started so that Small Stack can go to bed.
We shouldn't do this on Sundays.
No, I'm tired.
I liked it. I had a beer.
That's right. You guys are going.
But I'm tired.
I am too. Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
In the words of Tone Loc, let's do it.
Let's do this.
Well, I'm just kind of like, I'm trying to get...
What if whenever we clapped, we had to clap like this?
Shut up. God.
Why exactly would that ever be the case?
I'm just saying, it's like a human race. What if it was like that? It had to be like behind
that's like
you.
That's the concert clap. It's like, everybody!
But you couldn't have it here. You needed to have it back here.
You're fucking stupid. I was
going
to say another
Sunday.
Word, but
it is.
It's
Happy
Sunday.
Mother's Day, you mothers out there.
You mother.
Motherfucker.
Ladies. Jesus.
Jesus, ladies?
No, being disrespectful to the ladies.
Happy Mother's Day.
Who have pooped out children.
Man.
Pretty sure that's how it works, right?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
What's that one thing that we used to say? Man.
Sluts.
I don't know where that came from.
That's from Wedding Crashers.
Bradley
Cooper.
Got it. Yep.
He's all like, and then the one dude's talking to him about the girls, and he's like, man, sluts. It's like the weirdest thing.
It's the best. Okay, we've been gone for a while.
Well, we have, actually. Well, I mean, I was kind of slacking on posting the last podcast. So.
I've been like busy and working and traveling and
shit.
I
just don't give a shit.
That's cool.
Well, you're always free.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
If it was like we were on your schedule, we could be doing this shit every day.
Whoa, I'm not going to be that free anymore.
Mm,
oh, yeah? You got a life?
Still mostly free. But
okay.
Well, we did. We're just going to just assume that we're kind of on a monthly schedule now.
Oh, yeah, because somebody's got a big time job.
I went from like being unemployed and going to have all kinds of free time to.
First off, he was never unemployed.
Because I was.
The
minute he got laid off, he was like, oh, yeah. I got like five job offerings. And, you know, right.
Never mind.
And then like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I have so many options. And I'm like, dude, if I get laid off, I have one option. Suck a
anyway,
dick.
So you guys, if you don't see us weekly, the point of this is if you don't see us weekly, just still please come back. We are still keeping this going.
Yeah.
We've just, you know, we're adulting a little bit more.
I'm going to make my own
bi-weekly.
I'm going to do my own podcast. I'm gonna have my own podcast.
Sweet. Okay, you go do that, and everybody will kill themselves by the end of the week.
Because
the end
I'm free, and I'll be like, now everyone's talking about this government stuff.
All right, we don't need to hear about this
podcast.
Let's do some naked wrestling.
Welcome to Tiny Table 3. By the way, that's
yes,
who we are, Tiny Table 3, and we have a guest on the couch.
Hello,
dude on the couch.
Yep.
Should we keep his identity secret?
Well, we introduce him at the beginning, so
I'd clip that out.
Oh,
well, now we're talking about it. Now we're introducing.
I think it's funnier if he's a mystery guest.
Okay,
and like no one will ever know who he
we'll
is.
We'll just call him Creeps McGreeps.
Creeps McGreeps, and he works.
Dude, you got to let that go.
And he works for Richard Butte's
spooky dicks.
I love you guys, by the way. Okay, so Naked Wrestling this week, everybody. If you're a new listener, our Naked Wrestling segment is Nerd Conversations, where we get to argue about the big questions in the nerd universe. And this week it is, if you happen to be dating a superhero, how do you break up? Because you know there's some challenges dating somebody with some powers.
And this is an easy question, I'll tell you why. You just act like a total jerk.
So they kill you?
They'll dump you.
Or kill you.
Or, yeah.
If they're superheroes, they can't morally kill you. Maybe break a bone or two.
Only like Supergirl, but everyone else can mess you up.
But they'll just break a bone or two. I'd be in a cast for 6 weeks if I didn't have to deal with you no more.
I don't know. I think the big question, first of all, is would you date a superhero? Because there's some real...
Would you know you were dating a superhero, though?
That's true. They tend to hide that stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would date Superman in a second.
Shut up with the Superman.
Yeah, you want, because you like that ass. That's why.
No, but also because look at him as a boyfriend.
He's stupid. He just disappears randomly.
He would be a pretty good boyfriend.
No,
right?
And I feel like and look at how Lois has been able to break up with him or like hurt him in just to like separate herself a little bit. He never does anything to harm her.
He's a douche.
No, he's. I think that
kind
you
boring too.
I think
he doesn't drink.
Yeah, he doesn't. Unless he has red kryptonite and then he gets a little crazy. So you could always hide a little speck of red kryptonite for those good times.
Well, you
times.
Can break up with him by giving him pink kryptonite.
Yeah, I could give him pink kryptonite. It
makes him gay.
He's not even that'll work. That would
yeah,
totally work.
That's
so, well, but then I'll have to break up with him later and it's just not awkward.
Yeah. But he's not. But he doesn't even have any cash. I'd break up with him because he's just a regular working guy. I mean, Bruce Wayne, dude.
You're a shallow person.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne wouldn't date you. He's like a man whore. I mean, he might go on a date with you, but he's not going to like be your boyfriend.
That's
your
right.
You're dreaming, small stack. Dreaming.
He's all
dreaming
about dead ass.
Yeah. Green Arrow. I would date Green Arrow. He's got some cash. And he's got arrows.
How would you break up with him?
I wouldn't.
But this is about breaking up with him.
I think the only time you need to break up with someone and it'd be an issue is the Hulk.
Oh, God, that would be dangerous, man. Yeah.
The Hulk would be like, no, I'm always angry. And then that's you under his thumb.
You'd have to... that the sound?
Yeah, but at least you'd get a warning sign when he starts turning green, you run.
You can't
first
outrun
off,
the Hulk.
First off, he's way faster than you. And the minute he starts turning green, and that's a moment of like, nah, you're fucking done, you're dead.
You'd have to ghost him.
You would have to ghost him.
You'd have to totally
just not
ghost
text
him.
Back.
Yeah.
But then never be found either.
Where is you? Baby.
Why does it text ask the Hulk?
She has a big fucking thumbs trying to press the little buttons.
I
Yeah, I don't date the Hulk. That's just stupid. You'd have
I think it depends on which. I just think that you have to be smart going into which superhero you're going to date if you know that they're that superhero. But if you don't know, you could very, very well date Bruce Banner because look at like Mark Ruffalo is adorable and so is Edward Norton. Like they're freaking cute. But, so if it was them, I'd be like, oh man, you're a little bit fucked up in the head for some reason.
Is Batman and Green Arrow technically superheroes? Because technically they don't have any superpowers.
But they are.
They are, yeah. They got that money.
Oh, well, then I'm Oliver Black Widow.
Oh, yeah. But she'd kill you, too.
She'd break your neck.
She'd break up with me before I break up with
her. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would never date a female superhero. Like,
And then I'd be like, Scarlet Witch, what's up? Same house.
Oh, man. I would date Wonder Woman in a second.
Oh, maybe Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But she's an Amazon, which means...
Yeah, she'd break me. And I would be happy being
She'd break you before breaking up, though. It would be like that
we'd
scene.
We'd go visit Kurt in the hospital, and he'd be like, dude.
It was worth it.
So great.
It's true. Dad cast dough.
I honestly think the worst would actually be dating someone with telepathic powers.
Yeah, that'd be the worst, for sure.
Oh, you couldn't date them.
No, you couldn't date them. No. There'd be no relationship.
There'd be,
Because you'd just be like...
They'd be like, what'd you say? I didn't say anything. I heard that. Oh, and you'd just like be thinking like, man, what a bitch today. And be like,
why did I shit my pants? Why did my mind tell my butt to shit itself?
That's true.
Yeah, because you think about that. I mean, I just make everybody piss and shit themselves. Like, if you were telepathic, because, I mean, that's the ultimate way to disarm someone. Like, if you're getting ready to battle and you make them shit themselves, that's a really good tactic. Magneto's walking, like, kind of, like, bull-legged, like,
I can't believe nobody uses that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's gross.
Also, I'd use it on myself so I could be regular.
But I'm not talking about just, like... I'm not talking about just regular shit. I'm talking about like full blown like.
No, but I would use it on myself in a very like calm and moderate way. But I'd use it on other people to just blast out.
You know when you eat a lot of jalapenos
and it burns.
Shit, exit wound. That's the shits that you're gonna feel when I mess with your fucking head.
It feels like the jalapenos are torpedoing out your ass.
Pretty much. I'll make you think to eat jalapenos and then you're in trouble.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways,
would you date supervillains?
I feel like that's kind of less of a problem.
Ooh, maybe. Kingpin. I mean, Kingpin. He was a pretty good.
Boyfriend. If he loved you, you were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would cover you. Wouldn't hurt a thing. No, I agree with that. Kingpin. Although he's scary.
But breaking up with him. No, you would never break up with him.
You could never.
He has to break up with you.
No.
Your only tactic would be then to like maybe like gain a lot of weight or just kind of turn into a really boring person.
It wouldn't matter. He would love you forever. He'd never letting you go. You're stuck. There ain't no getting away with Kingpin.
Goddamn a man who's gonna love you no matter what. Yeah.
Punisher too. Punisher would be a bad.
Oh yeah.
He's not really a bad.
No,
guy,
I wouldn't date a villain.
He's always an anti-hero, but he's not a good guy either, man.
But there's not really any girl villains. But he really loved his wife.
He really did. Yeah, he really did.
Girl villains are always really psycho, so.
They are.
Well, I mean.
They're just unpredictable.
Harley's messed up.
Oh, well, Harley, no.
She is messed.
Harley Quinn's
but Harley
easiest
wouldn't
one to
date,
though, because you could, like.
But no, she's the hardest. She would never date anybody but the Joker.
That's true.
But if she would date you, easy.
But she's not going to.
What about Mystique?
No, that's stupid.
She was pretty loyal.
She'll test you by turning to other girls and be like, do you want to go out on a date? And then you're fucking done.
Yeah, you're right.
You could never talk to another girl, be like,
I don't know. I don't exist. Stop talking to me.
She'd tell you, man. You'd be like, you know, be like doing it with her and she'd turn herself into a dude, like right in the middle of it. Just to
fuck with your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd still be a bitch.
And if she never wanted to let you go, she'd just turn into someone else and start dating you as someone else, which is kind of scary.
No, she'd kill you before that.
Yeah. I mean, I she's technically a good guy. But I like Rogue, but...
She always chokes people with her, like, legs and stuff, so you'd be like, worth it.
Yeah, but with Rogue, there's no touchy-touchy.
I know, that's the problem.
There's plenty of touchy-touchy.
And then you die and die.
And then you go, worth it.
They're all worth it to you.
Yep. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't date a villain.
No. No.
There's no way out. You have to be able to, like, you have to have, like, free will.
I totally agree.
And there's no way out with
the
villain.
Superman is the easiest one to break up with, easy, because he's just, he'd be like, oh, I totally understand.
Yeah.
I think Wonder Woman would be easy to break up with, too.
I think she's pretty reasonable.
She's pretty independent.
Yeah, she'd be like, eh, I didn't like you that much anyways.
And then you'd be like, please take me back.
That's precisely how that would go down.
I don't think this is going to work out. Okay. No!
I was trying to make you jealous and want me more.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's easy to date, but he won't stay dating
you. No, he's
not.
He's fucking unstable, dude.
I know, but he'll love you forever, though.
He's weird.
Yeah.
He's a weird, awkward nerd.
But he'll love you forever.
Yeah, nerds like that.
They love you forever?
Maybe Ant-Man would probably be easy.
I don't know, guys. I think I've been on the opposite end of that scale.
The new
nerds
Ant-Man,
don't love you forever.
Ant-Man. Yeah, Ant-Man, but he's got tiny little penis.
Oh.
Get a little ant penis.
And he can grow big, too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Can he grow big?
Yeah.
Oh, then never mind then.
Oh, man. Oh,
in the comics, he does both.
Like, no, but... Really? What if he just like?
I never read Ant-Man. Well, I know the Hank Pym story.
Okay, what if he just like made himself small but just big enough and got real creative? Is all I'm saying.
That's horrible.
Wow.
He could be the best boyfriend ever.
Yeah, I date
until
that.
He beats you. Which one are we talking about?
Not the one. Not Hank Pym.
Okay. I'm all for them.
Yeah, well,
Paul
Hank
Rudd
Pym, you got to do is call the domestic hotline.
Yeah.
That's how you get rid of Ant-Man.
That's true.
Break up by having him arrested.
The current Ant-Man, he's pretty good.
Yeah, what's his name again? I forgot.
Lang.
Yeah.
I forget his first name, but it's Lang.
Yeah. Anybody else that you would have trouble breaking up with? I mean, there's like, there's like the scary god types.
He couldn't do Loki at all. He's normal size and allows him to grow back to normal size, but it took him forever to learn how to become Giant Man. So Ant-Man is also a Giant Man in the comics.
He's a big, strong man in his pants.
That's lame.
Giant Man
getting big.
What if he's all like, you want to see me become Giant Man? Want to see me do it again? But he didn't move.
Pretty good.
This is stupid. What's that? That's where SpongeBob.
Okay, that's shoot around the table. How do you break up with a superhero? I'm going with ghosting. just stop messaging.
Yeah.
And why you not text me, baby?
You Solomon Grundy now too.
That's my best impression of the Hulk.
I'm just gonna be a dick.
You're gonna be a dick.
Yeah.
And go work.
That's the dangerous route.
No, it isn't, because they're just gonna be like, psh, I don't care about you. They got other things going on.
Yeah. Well, I think you can be a douche, but don't be a dick. If you're mean, you're gonna hurt.
Well, yeah, the dick is different.
Yeah, like leave the toilet seat up, don't do your dishes, leave them in the sink. Show up late to everything.
Oh, it's easy for me to do because I do that all the time.
Nice.
Covered. How about you, Cloud?
I think one, I would probably pick Superman anyway, so it'd be super easy no matter what I wanted to do. But if I was, I would just try to be as, kind as possible with a slight pinch of dick in doing things that he didn't like.
Pinch of dick.
Just a little
just
pinch
a
of dick. Yeah,
just
enough
sprinkle.
To be like, I don't want to be with this chick anymore. Or get really boring. I think getting boring is actually the key here. Because if you're boring, you didn't do anything wrong. They're just not interested in you anymore.
That's a good call.
They're interesting. They're always interesting characters.
Yeah, they're always doing stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
If you were boring, they'd be like, "Oh man, this chick is boring."
I'm gonna
be boring.
It's
impossible
for me to be boring.
Yeah, it's not.
You're doing it right now.
Guest on the couch.
Guest on the couch. I mean,
Creeps Magritte.
Thanks,
Richard Butte.
I would probably say be mentally distant to the point where they got so bored with
mentally
me.
Disabled,
not disabled, distant.
We got kicked off the iTunes once.
Yeah,
correct term. Okay,
well, to the point where they got so bored where they're like, I don't need this dude. I would see it being the most.
Yeah, it's the safest route.
Safest route.
Yeah, I think so. That is probably the safest route. Yeah.
They're always mentally distant, too.
Yeah, just leave
They'd
town.
Be like, man, this guy's awesome. He doesn't want to talk about nothing.
No. They're interested in interesting people.
I guess.
You'd be just like a regular boyfriend then, right?
Yeah.
Distant.
Mentally
pretty
distant.
Much.
Okay, so let's move on to weekly wrap-up.
Woo!
Weekly wrap up. What do we got? Oh, we got some shit going on. Let's start with the thing that you guys did and I'm doing later tonight.
We saw Civil War and it was good.
You guys all.
That's it.
Okay, let's knock out Civil War. Let's knock out Civil War. Go ahead, but you know, just don't give me any major spoilers.
I will say that
little ones are fine.
Was good. I liked it a lot.
Captain America
Civil War. I like Lamp.
That's in there?
I think that...
Captain Lamp, dude. You know?
Wow.
That's what it meant.
Ron Burgundy's in Civil War. It's more than new.
The Captain America are my favorite series. Like, collectively, they're my favorite series. And I always liked Winter Soldier the best.
Yeah,
and
great.
I think that I'm going to go back and watch Winter Soldier and then Civil War again and decide which one's my favorite of the two. But they're actually super close
I like,
for me.
I like Winter Soldier more.
Huh. That's a bold statement.
I feel like they did a really good job of bringing so many characters together in this one in a way that all of them actually make sense as to why they're there,
unlike
how
Batman
their characters
versus
align.
Superman, who just kind of randomly, and, hey, we found a secret file.
It was
right.
Good.
Look at all the pictures.
It was good.
And look at the pictures of all the upcoming movies.
It was fine.
And to get...
Everyone shut up.
And like to get those characters kind of all started, it did start a little bit slow, which I know was what Milo's kind of mentioning earlier today. Like, it did start a little slow because there's a lot of characters, but I think it progressed quickly and then was a great movie, and the fight scenes are awesome.
There's only really one major fight scene though.
No, there's not. There's like three fight scenes like in the beginning.
One of them is a lot of chasing.
Oh,
nice, Milo.
God.
Well, I mean, obviously everyone knows that Spider-Man shows up in there.
Oh yeah, it was
I
a
will
good
have
Spider-Man.
To say that my favorite version of him, and I love the way they introduced him.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Spider-Man was great.
Made it to the point where I really want to see a movie on him.
But so Ant-Man is in this movie, and I love that Ant-Man is my third favorite of all the Marvel things.
I didn't know he was in it.
And he is in it, and he's, you know, small role, but he's in it. And so that's pretty, like, I'd say that he's actually probably my favorite character still. Like, just alone on his own in this movie even, too. Like, they really carried his character across without making him a major role.
Also,
nice.
Black Panther's introduction was really quick.
Okay, don't
but
say
I
that.
Liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
I don't want to know what it looks like, but I
no,
think...
No. Yeah. I'm just saying his introduction was real quick, but it was really good. I mean, everyone knows he's in it from the previews.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't know Ant-Man was in it? He's on the billboards.
Is he really?
The ones where it's all of them lined up.
And he's also in the trailer.
He's in the
trailer,
man.
He's in the trailer.
I'm trying not to spoil anything.
You know,
like,
that,
I'm pretty sure I've seen him
on
the billboard.
You know that Spider-Man trailer? He's in that trailer.
Anyway, so yeah.
I was mesmerized.
I say, if you haven't seen Civil War by the time this goes up, what are you doing? Go see Civil War. But if you haven't seen the other Captain Americas, I think this is a very good series that all leads up to each other. So make sure you watch the other ones, in my opinion. Don't go in without having seen that other one.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I love Winter Soldier. So and Winter Soldier is, I think, probably the best superhero movie.
Yeah, that one's my favorite.
In the last 10 years. And,
But Civil War is up there. I'm kind of like deciding. Wow. Civil War is really high up there for me. I like it more than I like the Avengers, the first one.
You know what was funny?
Good. That's a pretty big statement.
You know what was funny about Civil War, though, was there's a, you know, when they're talking about how they want, well, everyone knows Civil War is about like the regulation of superheroes or whatever. And so there's the scene when they're kind of meeting and telling him that they're thinking about doing this. And he's all like, I want to just remind you guys why we're going to do this. And he's all like, New York, and then he's like Manhattan and stuff, and I felt like going to my friend and I'm like, but that's all the clips we have because we haven't made enough movies yet. Like, they're like cycling through all the movies and I'm like, I don't need a reminder, dude, I get it. Like, it blew up a lot of stuff.
I really thought the movie was really good, only because I can't do midnight showings anymore and I ended up having to go with a group at 1:30 a.m. and it still kept me up, which was crazy.
Wow. It was good. I'd say 90%.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything in it that you guys were disappointed about?
Yes.
What were you disappointed about?
I was disappointed.
Wait, is this a spoiler?
No. I was disappointed with how they talk to each other.
The dialogue?
Kind of. Sometimes whatever.
Okay.
What?
And sometimes they hit like the same subject over and over and over again. Like, they basically run in a circle with the same conversation for like 20 scenes. Like the whole...
Man.
Like the whole regulation signing thing.
But that's why they're fighting.
I guess, but I get
that's what's
like
creating the Civil War.
I can
War.
Get it after like two or three conversations, not seven. You know, like I get it. You don't want
to
sign it,
but
like,
they're also having. They're trying to have conversations as to why, and they're trying to see each other's.
I felt like the only ones that were having conversations were Iron Man and Captain America.
Well,
the
yeah.
The other ones didn't really say anything, so I mean, obviously it didn't matter that much. That's all I'm saying. I felt like some of the characters were kind of glossed over, so...
I mean, but that's why it was... I think that they were stayed focused. I think if you were to tap on every single one... Oh, and Vision and the Scarlet Witch were really... They had really great chemistry.
Oh, okay.
Well, which was interesting.
They end up boning, don't they, or something like that?
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, that's
I'm
going to
say
in
the comics, yeah. The part of it that bugged me
great chemistry,
without
though.
Giving anything away
they had a lot
was
of scenes together.
The amount of time that certain characters spent on the screen. I wish I would have seen a little bit more on other characters versus like the main.
No, no. If you do that, you lose the storyline. Then you're going to bitch that it's like too all over the place. Fucking nerds!
No, the way I see it is it also shows a backstory of why they're siding with what side. I mean, for me, that was one of the more important parts.
Well, it's very clear. They're either siding because they understand that what they've done has been very hurtful and they need to be regulated, or they don't believe in regulation because they're not sure how far it's going to go. And then whoever calls upon them, you can tell which ones are going to be that way. You know that, like, Ant-Man is not going to fucking sign something. He's, like, an outlaw himself most of his life. You know that... You know, they never mind. I can't give away too many spoilers, right. But you get the characters and why they would align, in my opinion.
Okay.
Based on who they are as characters.
Sure.
Okay, so do we want to do Game of Thrones with... Am I the only person that's seen and is up to date in Game of Thrones?
Okay.
No, I'm up to date.
I'm not up to date, but is the second... does a lot happen in the second episode?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. A lot.
Damn it.
So let's skip it, maybe.
No, don't skip it. I'm just going to I'm going to go drink a beer outside. You guys do it.
No, you don't need
to. No, it's okay. It's all right. We'll save it. Because, I mean, I'm surprised. I can't believe you've managed to avoid information on it at this point.
I am really good at avoiding Game of Thrones
media
stuff
and everything.
Okay. Super good at it. Like the second it says anything on there or whatever, like I just scroll through real fast. I never look at details.
It's like she's trying to break up with a superhero. She gets really distant.
I do. I'm really good at distant.
Okay. Well, we could skip over it.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, there's another episode tonight.
I'm watching tonight. Yeah, I'm watching both of them. So
I will say that the we're season six, right? That's where we're at.
Maybe.
Wait, tell me, is Jon Snow dead?
Do you want to know?
Yeah, I don't care about that
You
one.
Don't care?
No.
Spoiler.
Well, that's the only thing that...
that's the only thing that really matters?
That's the only thing that matters.
He's dead.
He is dead?
He's dead.
I figured he was dead.
No, he's not.
Really? Oh, I figured he was dead.
Well, the end...
So is that why people are mad?
Everybody, we're about to ruin Game of Thrones for you, so if you care and you haven't seen it, then turn the goddamn podcast now. It's too late. We already blew it, so...
Yeah, too bad.
Fuck you. yeah, at the very end of the last episode,
Melisandre... She brings him back?
It looks like she fails, and everyone walks out of the room, and then the camera sort of pans up, and he opens his eyes and draws a breath, and then
But you don't know if he's like evil.
You don't
or...
know. You don't okay. know. Yeah, you just see him come back, and there's like a.
He looks like he wasn't going to be evil.
And the response of the crowd when they have this moment where just the preview shows him like walking, and everyone's just like, "Holy shit!" Yeah.
Well, I mean, also the fact that the wolf... Like,
I totally thought they were actually
going to
kill him off.
Like, when everyone left, that wolf kind of sensed it.
Yeah. Well, he kind of sensed it coming back.
Wait, in the books, has any of this happened?
Nope.
No, the book's not out yet.
So this could have gone either way.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely, yeah. But from what I understand, like, George Martin gave him, like... I think an outline of where he's going with it, but he basically said, you guys can do whatever you want. So we don't know what he's going to do with the storyline, but yeah.
Oh, so he could potentially kill him in the book.
Sure. Yeah.
I thought they were going to kill him. I thought they were going to do some real upset and kill him. I didn't want them to.
Yeah. We've talked about this, but I would have been, I think I was really close to if they had killed him off of being out because he was like the moral center of the,
He was becoming
the
strongest
show,
leader.
Also, yeah, plus yeah. the books. I mean, yeah. also kept him as the sort of the yeah. lasting moral center.
I knew he was gonna
fuck some people.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to have Daenerys and you know and Tyrion, but that's not the same.
Yeah, you're right.
I think a lot of people thought about it the same way because I remember when Jeff saw the episode when they actually killed him, he freaked out.
Well, I freaked out when they actually killed him. I did too. I've had so much time to think about it that I was going to be okay because it's the Game of Thrones and it doesn't matter if you're a main character. You could die, but and you're right. His balance is off.
So you shouldn't have that much of an emotional attachment.
I'm really attached.
Yeah. But you did see the episode with... when she took off the necklace?
And she was like old as shit.
Yeah, like a couple thousand years old and stuff. Yeah.
Dude. Jeez. Nasty.
Yeah, Milo was like, I'd still hit that.
Yeah. Milo's voice. I'm just saying, with the necklace
on, with the necklace on, still bone.
He was talking to me while we were watching the episode, and he goes, that's my lady. And as soon as the necklace came off, I was like, yeah, that's your lady, dude. And he's like,
still bone with the necklace on.
But I like the, I like what they were doing with, Greyjoy.
Yeah.
Lovejoy. Greyjoy.
Lovejoy?
Is it Grey?
Lovejoy. Grey Worm? Greyjoy?
Is it really Greyjoy? That doesn't sound right. But I like the whole, that whole family dynamic and the sister, wanting to save him, and the dad like, fuck him. And there is also one other thing that goes down that we won't say.
Can I just say that, like, man, the incest couple. In the first episode, Cersei and
Jaime.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the first episode of the season, like when they're like, where he comes back and like the chick's dead and he tells her and she's just like, I knew this would happen. I should have listened, blah, blah, blah. And they're like talking. I'm sitting there going like, doesn't any part of you recognize that you guys are siblings when you guys like, doesn't like one part of you understand this? How do you portray that character? And wouldn't that character at some level recognize that that is like your blood relative?
They're too far down that line.
Oh my God. It just grosses me out whenever I like see them together. I get the heebie jeebies. I really like Jaime, but like, and whenever he comes back and is around Cersei, I'm like, you're so gross.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can't believe I'm like defending this. But
you're about to defend their bony?
I am. I would think this is a good plan, but if you think of their history and how long that history's been, they've had two children together. They've lost, or they've had three children. They've lost two of them. And they've managed
to. And
this
they don't
kingdom.
Even like the third one that much.
Not really. And they've managed the kingdom. They're so committed to each other for so long. I don't even think it. I would imagine that stuff doesn't even come into mind whatsoever. I know it's creepy as hell.
It has to come in the mind because they still. It's not like they're like out. It's not like they they recognize it. They tell people like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, you have to recognize it and know that it's gross on some level. Otherwise, you'd just be like, yeah, we bone.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a risk of their power, so I don't think they really address that they want to admit it.
Risk of their power and a risk to their children, which I think that's kingdom. A major thing.
Yeah, so...
Oh, that's true. It's for that. Anyways, it just grosses... I just can't take it.
It's one of those power couples,
Yeah, it's like bros before hoes.
Ew. That's not how that's used. That's terrible.
No, it's not. Sisters before
misters.
She was a
gross. Moving on.
Yuck. Okay, business. But I think the season's actually started off pretty strong.
I don't know. The first episode, nothing happened.
No, it was all set up, and I agree with that. But the second one does set a lot of stuff into play. You're going to be screaming at the screen big time.
Yeah, I'm watching both tonight.
Okay. I'll do a quick right game because I'm mentally not completely here, so I'll make it quick. And this is actually, this is more conversation than about writing in general. So my piece is, I started reading the latest book by Sherry Turkle, who's a psychologist out of MIT.
We always do during this section.
The thing was that Sherry Turkle writes about technology from a psychological and social perspective. So she's been writing for decades, really going back to the 80s, and the effect of technology on social relationships. And
oh my God, it's killing them. Is it killing them? She's telling it's killing them, right?
Essentially, yes.
It is.
I could tell you that from my own experience. I don't need to write a fucking book.
Her latest book is called Reclaiming Conversation. And she's made the argument that social media has really created, I would guess, an emotional divide between people because people they don't really truly connect. They don't engage in actual risk.
Milo and I were just talking about this like two nights ago.
Yeah, they would rather text than talk. And
or like a page, yes, versus actually saying something to you, or yes, even yeah, sending you a text. Like, they don't even do that. So it's, yeah, it's like a, it's levels of inception.
Well, that and yeah, actually having a conversation versus arguing on the text feed. I mean, it's horrible.
I was down in downtown Disney last week, and there's a huge Starbucks down there.
And huge, it's with a Y?
Huge. There was that's as close as I want to sound like that fucking idiot ever. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, the going into the Starbucks, there's a lot of people in there, and it was so bizarrely quiet with all these people, and everybody, I just looked around, and everybody, and we're talking about young people, all on their phones, all sitting. And everyone's just staring at their phones.
Which you didn't know talking. Everyone was talking to each other.
Well, I mean, I always think of, like, you know, if you look at, like, the, you know, the famous, like, writer in districts, you know, in Spain and in Paris, where cafes were sort of the gathering place for intellectual discussion and building of relationships and ideas in the Starbucks. No one's talking about anything. It's like this, like, let's have some coffee and not engage at all.
Yeah.
That's great. But I was going to make a sort of a small defense. And I highly recommend Sherry Turkle's books. She's an intellectual, obviously. She's a professor at MIT. She's smart. But her books aren't overbearing. They're smart, but they're actually accessible. And she makes some really great points. I'm writing an article now for tinytable3.com.
Awesome.
But my argument really is that there is a lot of certainly negativity. I think I mentioned this when we were talking about AI. Turkle wrote about the development of robots and the robots that have emotional relationships with human beings. So they have these comfort robots that they were developing for the elderly, and I may have mentioned this, and she was, yeah, brought on as a researcher to, you know, sort of watch the, and the people that were building this were so proud of the fact that these older individuals, these lonely individuals, are becoming so attached to these, they're like little seals, furry seals, but they reacted to the affection you gave it.
They make fun of those on the Aziz Ansari show on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the point she was making was that it was a way for us to throw off our responsibilities to other human beings. So rather than giving real affection and connectedness to older people, we pawned it off on a piece of technology. Now, she expands on this and says the technology, essentially, it's created to make things easier, but it essentially frees us from having to risk, right, to have these social relationships with individuals. Now, I have a new job, and I have to commute every day, usually an hour or sometimes, well, the minimum, at least 2 hours, but in traffic, sometimes worse than that. And I would have to say, you know, just on the, and I'm making a positive argument for social media with all the downsides, and I do agree there is a sort of a breakdown of risk. You can have a Facebook relationship where you can just post and like, and then you don't have to worry about someone disagreeing, really, you know, you don't have to face them. You can say shitty things and not have to, you know, really
be able
to take the challenge. So it does lead to, you know, people who, you know, basically throw off responsibility for the things that they say. They're not really engaging in a real relationship. But my argument too, and certainly, you know, that to say that I agree with many things that she says, but I use social media and technology every day to maintain relationships with friends and my wife, while I do this long commute and where I spend hours just doing work or at work where I would never be able to, if I was living.
You're using Facebook while you drive? It's very unsafe.
No, I'm on my phone. I actually call and talk to people.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. But when I'm at work, though, if I'm at lunch or on break, I mean, I'm constantly getting texts, you know, from my wife and from friends. I can still have conversations. And without the technology, it would be impossible to be able to do that.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, we are a lot more separate in the fact that we have other technologies that help us be more separate too, such as cars and planes. And we start, you know, people used to like live in like the same house or like those, you know, giant log cabins and all the families live together. We are separating more too. So it does help us stay connected a little bit more.
And I would argue too that, I mean, I start off my article talking about, because I do have the friends that talk about the golden age of our parents and how wonderfully close they were. And I'm like, what fucking family were you in? My dad lived in an age where getting to know your spouse wasn't part of the deal.
Yes, yeah.
You know, he lived a separate life. He went to work and drank with his buddies, and she stayed at home and took care of the house. It was like they lived separate lives. And they didn't have a really close... I mean, they were married because that's what you're supposed to do, but it was there was the man life, the husband, what he did, and there was what she did. And they were it was just different.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were... you know, super connected. I think there's been a, and I think a lot of it has to do with the breakdown that technology helped to break down some of those walls where I have a connection with my friends and my family and my wife that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. And in another age, certainly I wouldn't have. I'm not saying it's, you know, perfect, but I think in used correctly and not as a substitute.
And no, I was just going to say exactly. The same thing. Yeah. If you're already kind of like maintaining these relationships one-on-one in person with conversation, and then you use it as kind of like this addition to the relationships that you hold.
Yeah.
Versus a, oh, I'm going to like this person's picture so that we somewhat stay connected. But I don't really even need to like go in and comment or do anything or send them a text message because I don't even have their number. You know, it depends on the relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, yeah, technology helps you out in your everyday life, but just like what we did the other day, I mean, you maintain a relationship by being together with those people, talking to them, and, you know.
Yeah.
Always doing something, not just always over the phone.
You know? I would never, like, again, like, we all, because we're nerds, we did nerd stuff, but we all got together as nerds, and we played, you know, like, tabletop games.
It's the beauty of tabletop gaming.
Yeah, I would never replace that experience of having a room full of friends to be, I like online games, too. Putting my headset on and playing some games is fine, but I would never replace the experience of physically being in a room and talking with my friends. It's, yeah, don't, you, if you use it as a substitute, it absolutely can be that alienating, you know, dark technology that we read about in science fiction. You got to call. You got to actually talk to people, and that I certainly think is true. But I wouldn't replace it. I think there's so many great advantages that I can still maintain a pretty decent relationship with my friends and family and my wife. Where I God right now, especially with the hours I work, that I would never get to do if I lived, you know, 30, 40 years ago in my working life. It would be. Very different, very separate. Anyway, so it's Sherry Turkle. Her famous, she did like a series of books. She's been doing this since the 1980s. Alone Together, which is probably her best-selling one.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Which is a great book, very readable. I highly recommend it. And her latest is Reclaiming Conversation, which is more of a psychology sort of side of things. She's, again, a wonderful writer, super intelligent, and I highly recommend it. Anyways, okay.
Awesome.
So, music guy.
What's up?
You got some news for us?
Well, it's nothing nobody's already heard, but
I don't know.
Axl joined AC/DC and they played their first show in Portugal. And
Portugal's
I looked
awesome.
Up some videos because everyone was talking shit before they even really heard it. And then the rehearsal videos came out and it sounded pretty good. And then I saw an actual video of them in Lisbon and it works. Works really good, actually. I think it sounds... like, my argument is Brian Johnson can't tour anymore, obviously, because he's going deaf. And Bon Scott can't tour anymore, obviously, because he's dead.
He's dead, yeah.
Cool
story, bro.
So I think Axl is probably the only choice they have because he's kind of in between. And also, he's a legend in his own right and doesn't seem like they're just trying to...
I do like that better than having somebody who's never been in that world.
I was just going to say, he played the video for me, and I thought it was really good. I don't understand why people are getting all crazy about it.
Oh, people just want to hate. I mean, I understand Axl is douchey, but...
True.
But he, I mean, he seems like a natural fit to me. I mean, he's got the high range.
It sounded pretty good.
Yeah, he sounds like Bon Scott. I mean, he's got that high range, and he's got the scratchy voice.
And that's not easy for men, and that's especially not easy for older men who sometimes go even lower register, a little bit more scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why do you want to stick a... like, if they were to stick a kid in there just to, like, hit those ranges, that would be a little bit weird. It's like touring with your dad or something.
Yeah. And I think... this is going to be pretty quick because it just started. But I think they got Axl at a time when he's actually working on his voice, and if they didn't feel it was... okay fit and they didn't feel like they were comfortable moving forward, I don't think they would have done it. So I think AC/DC fans need to simmer down
simmer down
and
now.
Just just accept that the band is actually trying to deliver something to you and not just like, yeah, fuck it, we canceled. Well,
it's ACT. It's not that complicated. It's just straightforward rock and roll.
Stop saying they fired Brian Johnson. They didn't fire him. His doctor said you can't tour anymore. You have no choice.
Well, I think the other thing was also just because of the way Axl reacted at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and didn't show up, the way he's acted with other people, I think people took that, I don't know, that idea that that's the way he's going to be. But, like, he's a professional. He wants to work. And I think he did a really good job. So people are just going crazy.
Yeah, and I've said this before in defense of Axl Rose is that, I mean, if you're Axl Rose, imagine all the shit that guy gets.
I mean, anybody in any kind of limelight gets so much shit from people who are just like mad because they feel like being mad because they're sitting in a room just being pissed off.
Yeah, but he also gets blamed for a lot of things that you're like, well, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and what he has to do.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, in most of like the videos that they always put up because he stormed off or whatever, it's normally because he's just defending the band. Like, they always skip the part where they threw the bottle at Duff's head and they just show Axl getting pissed and storming off. It's like, well, you know, if you're on stage and you're throwing fucking bottles at my friends, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
And that was his attitude. You know, I mean, those guys, they get spit on and they just get, you know, they're trying to get a reaction out of them. And they're like, oh, look how bad he got. Well, yeah, he got mad. he's a human being. Imagine someone walking in your fucking workplace and throwing a bottle at your head.
You'd be like,
let's continue my work day.
I'm not going to be mad at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, and I think in many ways he's got a right to be pissed, you know, being angry. Because if you're Axl Rose, you get shit all the fucking time. So, so eat balls, people.
It's true. It's like your saying of the weekend.
It really is. I'm like, I don't know what my problem is. Anyways, everyone just go eat balls.
That is all for the music thing, because nothing that I... Well, Haley Reinhardt's album came out. I said it.
Is AC/DC coming through California?
They're supposed to do U.S. dates that they had to reschedule, but I don't know exactly where they're rescheduling them.
No, or is it just like people have vouchers or they reselling the tickets?
I think they're just giving them to the people that already had tickets.
God damn it.
I mean, they were offering refunds for the other shows because obviously it wasn't the same show, but so maybe you might be lucky.
I want to go. Okay. Anyways, advice.
There. Yeah. Side music note. Paul McCartney keeps opening up more and more shows in the U.S., so pretty sure he's coming to California again soon. If you've never seen Paul McCartney, you need to see Paul McCartney.
I want to.
He's great. He's just great. I mean, I'm a fan of his, obviously, but he's just great. You have to see him.
I'm going to go to Old Cella.
To Old Cella. That looks awesome. We almost bought tickets, but we can't do that right now.
Yeah. If you haven't heard about that, everybody, they're doing the Coachella Festival.
Desert Life or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and it's like the headliners for the first day, it's Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan, which I don't care. Second day is Paul McCartney and Neil Young, which I do.
Which is amazing.
And the last night is Roger Waters and The Who, which I would love to see. But I've seen both those guys. But
that's a pretty sweet lineup, man.
Yeah. Paul McCartney is the one I want to go see because I haven't seen a Beatle and I would like to see a Beatle before.
Yeah. We were thinking to do that one like all the way through. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, you know what? He just keeps opening up more shows for his tour because he is currently touring on his own right now.
Okay.
And he's coming closer. He's now been east. He's opened up East Coast ones and he's coming closer to the West Coast. So they're kind of like opening him up as he goes a little bit instead of announcing the whole tour.
Okay.
And I would say, like, honestly, for the money, I'd rather just be up close at a Paul McCartney concert.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I've
like he's said that good thing. To me. It was that like amazing. I finally got to see him last year, and I was like, oh, okay. Anyways, skipping on for music, but that's my music stuff.
Advice.
So here's my advice. I'm reading a book called Quiet. I've been reading this book for God knows how long.
Should take your own advice.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to stare at you until you get uncomfortable. Anyways, remember when I used to do that to you and you would keep talking? That was pretty funny. Anyways.
Did that? Yeah, that was Carlos.
Oh, yeah, it was Carlos. Never mind.
Oh, we introduced him again. Creeps McGreeps.
Creeps McGreeps.
Richard Butte.
So I'm reading about this book called Quiet, and it's really fun because it is actually a book that talks about the power of being an introvert. It also speaks to the struggles of being an introvert in a world that kind of forces you to be an extrovert and has kind of these ideals that if you have extrovert attributes, you could be more successful in life. But
But it's really cool because it talks about the strength of being somebody who's just a little bit more silent and reserved and what you can do. So I'm just that my only advice this week is really, you know, it's something that I kind of struggle with from time to time because I can be, I'm both introverted, but also a Latin woman who's hot tempered. So sometimes it kind of like boils up and then like explodes. And it's really nice to know that if you can just take the things that you do well, such as like sit back, listen, think about stuff and really kind of process things, you can actually get people to have a real conversation with you a lot better than if you join in the yelling or just the overall struggle. But I'm going to read. I actually think this is a perfect time for me to finally finish this book because I was reading a little bit more of it the other week and it's just kind of like, yeah, I do have these like things that I can use as well in these situations that might be a little bit rougher. And the reason that it kind of like hit me was just because I was like, am I ever going to be like at a job where I feel completely empowered to speak up? Because most of the time I don't like to. And then it was like, oh, sometimes you don't always have to be the one that necessarily like speaks up, but you can be the voice of reason, which is also just as strong. So if you are an introvert, I highly recommend a book. It's called Quiet. I can't remember the author right now, but, you know, maybe it's just a little bit about figuring out your own internal strengths and using those. That's all I get.
You know, I think for the longest time, I would describe myself as being an introvert. And I think that's probably one of the things that drew me into the arts and into music because it helped me express mm-hmm. myself. And I would cause I always felt awkward and strange and things like that. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but I'm also, I mean, because of the work I do, it requires me to be extroverted, even though it doesn't feel natural for me to do so.
Yeah. And a lot of jobs in America do, like any, you know, kind of, I guess, middle class to high middle class jobs require you to have to speak up and have at least some extroverted characteristics.
Yeah, I would absolutely prefer if I can make a living doing it, just being in a room.
Me
by
too.
Myself.
That's what I'm wondering. Where's that job? I mean, I guess it's programmer or something. I'm not sure.
Give me a task and I'll just go do it and don't no one come in.
Yeah.
I will get it done, but leave me alone. I would love to do that, but I don't get to do that. I have to. Yeah. But I am because I am, I think, naturally an introvert. I have to have away time. I put myself
it
out there.
It does speak about that. Yeah.
Yeah. People sometimes think I'm strange because like I get invited to go out to lunch all the time and then I'm like, nah. I'll go like either to a restaurant by myself or I'll sit in my car, you know, and have lunch, something like that. Just I have to decompress. I can't be out front the whole time. It's too.
I'm the same way. Most of my lunch breaks, I just like run out the door by myself. And I work with a great like little group of people that I hang out with. We're friends and everything. But a lot of lunch breaks, I just like grab my purse and like run out the door. And it's just because I'm like, I just need to be in my car and like drive for a second.
Yeah. 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 Like, I mean, what I do is I'm working in an open office environment. So it's like, it's the whole, I don't wish they would get rid of that. The whole idea that we should have an open office where everybody
hate that.
Fucking build the walls again, man. Yeah. I mean, you need to have some private time
to fap.
To fap.
Yay, fap.
No, I agree. I actually have an office and like, it's the only thing that keeps me sane, but I don't mind people coming in all the time. Like, I don't mind people coming in all the time because they're not going to do it all day. Like, it's not going to be all 8 hours of my day. And that helps me, like, so much at work.
It's crazy. I know. Yeah, we're total, like, it's an open office. And I get it because we're all working towards common goals and we want to talk in transparency. You know, like,
yeah,
it's a whole modern
it, but
bullshit.
Yeah.
But it's too intense for me, who, again, likes to have, you know,
just a little time.
Focus and get... And so I need when I have the moment, I need to go someplace else because there's too much coming at me the whole time.
Yeah.
I just need to walk away. But yeah. Yeah. So I'll check out. But do you know, remember the author of the
book? I can't remember the author, but I'll remember
next totally
time.
I've totally heard of this.
It's just called Quiet. It's a gray book with like the letters Quiet is in red. And it actually has a test, like a little like one sheet pamphlet, not like a real test, but it takes questions from an actual like personality test. That if you answer more one than the other, you can tell whether you're a little bit more aligned with an extrovert or an introvert.
And it's questions such as like needing some time, like would you prefer to, you know, do you need to be alone to recharge or do you need to be around other people? Like it's things like that, right. Just to know, oh, like even if you can be really friendly and outgoing, it doesn't mean that you're not an introvert. And that's kind of what you start to see. And then it tells you about the strength of some introverts. And it's written kind of in first person where this woman, she actually helps people who are introverts really find their own internal strength. Hmm. But she did it first with herself. And the first chapter is actually her going to one of those Tony Robbins seminars. Oh, wow. And how extroverted it is and how successful he seems and is seen as and the things that he does and how right. calculated he is and what a smart businessman he is. And, you know, she like goes through the whole experience of like a seminar day or weekend. And it's, you know, it's things that I think any introvert has probably tried. Yeah. Some version of that kind of stuff, some version of like a self-help in bunny right. quotes, I guess, to just try to get out there a little bit more, because America especially is very much built on that kind of equaling success.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you find your success without having to fit into that if it's just frankly exhausting for your personality, yeah, which it is for some.
That's awesome. So we had
if you take a Myers-Briggs test, it'll do that. You can take free ones. They're personality tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you find a real one, because there's a lot of BS ones online. But,
yeah.
But if it takes you about 2 hours, and yeah, you're probably doing the real one. If it takes you like 30 seconds, no, probably not right. very accurate. Yeah. That's just going to tell you how wonderful you are when you finish it. You're quiet.
And here, buy this while you're at it.
Okay, so I'm coming down to the end. By the way, this is the Hangover episode, just to let you guys know. We got the video running. I'm just looking through the room, and everybody's just...
I'm so exhausted, man. I'm not even hungover. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I think I'm more tired than I am hungover, but yeah, we had way too much fun last night.
Yeah, good time.
So, final words. When are we wrapping up? We got some stuff going on this week.
I'm seeing the Violent Femmes tonight.
I can't wait to hear about that. I've seen them before, and they're great.
That's about it. Nothing else, just...
I'm actually going to see Andrew Bird on Saturday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing him at?
I believe at maybe the Rose Bowl, somewhere in LA. I don't even remember where. But if you guys don't know who Andrew Bird is, because I had no idea who he was, he's actually a fucking amazing musician from all the YouTube videos that I've seen. But his claim to fame, in my opinion, he's the whistler at the end of the Muppet movie. Remember when they need an act?
That's right.
And the act whistles? It's yep. him.
Oh.
He's like a world-renowned whistler. I was fucking blown away. I'm going to go see the whistler. Anyways, I was really excited to find that fact out about him.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Some awesome friends gave me some games for my birthday, so I'm probably gonna play a little Walking Dead Monopoly, and then I'm gonna crack open Zombicide.
Yeah,
figure out how to play that thing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna invite everybody over to play some Zombicide.
Yeah, you definitely need cool. to.
I'm gonna probably by the middle of the week on tinytable3.com, I'm gonna post my article about social media and its social consequences. At some point, we'll see how that goes.
See how busy
it's
you are.
Exciting.
So exciting.
Just tired.
Yeah, you need to write up a review of the Violent Femmes. I want to see something from you.
All right, I will take some photos and shit.
Please.
And shit.
And I'm also,
I will shit probably.
Yeah, and I also did the Disney Food and Wine Festival.
What?
Over the last couple weeks, so we did. We actually had dinner with Robert Irvine, which was pretty neat, and we ate a lot of. Disney fancy food and so I have lots of pictures from that. I'm gonna put that up.
That's
on
sweet. I saw some of them too.
May 20th we're going to a John Carpenter event.
What?
So it's like music, so I'll let you know what that's about.
Yeah, let me know what that's about. That sounds crazy. Yeah.
I don't know what it is yet 100%. But it's cool.
And is X-Men Apocalypse next week, is that right?
I don't know.
Is it next week?
I don't think
no,
so.
It's the 27th.
Oh, it's still ways off. Never mind.
So excited.
Fuck you, weekend.
So we'll go see Civil War again. I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I probably will.
I'm going to go see it once, so I'm so excited.
Guest on the couch, you got
just
any final words?
My final words? I'm going to feel like The Walking Dead on Monday because I got stuck with jury duty.
No!
Well, you got to do your civil duty.
Oh yeah,
nerd! You government nerd!
Oh yeah, and Fear the Walking Dead.
You could just
back.
Tell him he's guilty. Still.
Well, jury duty is better than Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, Fear the Walking Dead.
I don't know, man.
The worst.
You gotta sit there both.
Yeah.
They're both equally mind-numbingly.
But the writing is better in jury duty.
The stories are more compelling.
They're more realistic, for sure.
You should do that in jury duty. So what do you think, sir? I think you guys need to get a better writer, because this this play is boring.
Not enough drama in this thing.
Oh, we got to do a little mini bonus segment.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor.
Oh, God. Oh,
no, fuck. That's going to take forever.
No. As fast as possible.
We got a couple minutes here. Let's do this. Okay.
We all saw Batman vs. Superman, finally. Everybody got caught up. And Lex, and we all feel a little bit different about the movie. I don't think anybody here full-on hates it, though.
No, I mean, there was a lot of nerd hate about that film, and I've got some serious issues with it. But
yeah,
once
I
it got
issues,
rolling,
but
I was... yeah.
It had good moments,
the
too.
The first hour is pretty shitty, though.
I agree. It's a little out there. This room doesn't have all the nerd hate for it, but we did split. We didn't split, actually. I think it's maybe just me against the world here on Lex Luthor.
No, I didn't really like it.
Oh, my God.
I can't. That was the one.
Oh, you liked him?
I liked him.
Oh, fucking stupid.
I'm sorry.
You know, but she's not the only person, though. I ran into a number of people who were like,
I didn't like the movie very much,
but I really liked Lex Luthor. And I'm like... Well, number one, that wasn't Lex Luthor. That was some fucking... Yeah.
That was Mark Zuckerberg as Lex Luthor.
That's what I was about
to say. Jesse Eisenberg playing Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I was going to say Zuckerberg and then what's his name? The Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, if they had a baby. That's horrible.
Who couldn't act.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. That's where this is the most wrong of it all. Because to me, Lex Luthor was at least... Ooh, Lex Luthor is who he is.
Opinion.
He
let her go.
He's somebody who tries to, you know, be out there and be this person. He's always trying to be the person that his dad wants him to be, but he kind of can't. I think he just took that in a different route. I do think he was a little Riddler-esque, and he could have like calmed down a little bit, but he was actually very true to the psychosis that could happen being that torn apart and feeling that kind of pressure. He's trying to like align himself get in front of people and be like, you know, the calm like person that the charismatic person he's trying to be, and he can't, so he freaks out. And I think that that's a little bit more true to that kind of a person if they were really going through those struggles. It doesn't matter if you don't agree with me. I think that it's true as far as that. And as far as acting goes, he was the best actor in that film.
It doesn't matter if you don't like the character.
Oh, you think she was the best actress? Yes. I'm not talking about character. I'm talking about
the actress. She was the best actor in that film.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. Were we watching the same thing?
Ben Affleck was better than Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. And Ben Affleck got the most shit lines ever, but whatever. Like, poor guy. I didn't know. Like, I was like, do you bleed? You will. I was like,
I'm not gonna argue with you about, like, what Luther could be because he's, you know, what he went through.
He's an interpretation.
I'm just saying, that ain't the one that was written in the comic books. That was some fucking thing that he pulled out of his butthole. Because
he was all like, I'm late. Luther, I'm late for a very important date. Don't try to say hello, goodbye, I'm late.
Yeah, pretty much what he did is he got to the studio and he's like, oh my God.
I think they were trying to create realistic versions of these characters, and I think that that's what they were going
for.
That
version was
fucking
baby
bitch. While I agree he was
a
little bit Riddler-esque, I do think he was the best actor in the movie, and I don't think Gal Gadot was at all. I think I liked her a lot more than I thought I would, but come on, guys, what acting?
The minute that she introduced Superman and Batman together,
because she walked around and looked hot,
and
that's why she's a good actress.
I just thought she was a solid performer. She didn't have really a part. She had like, you know, like two
she
lines
just
or some
around.
Shit.
And
that's
then
enough
she'd
for
be
me.
Like, yeah, exactly. Oh, that's it. I'm leaving.
Well, you know the scene where he introduces Superman and Batman together and he makes them shake hands or whatever? That scene right there made me hate him. I was like, please just reveal your heroes and kill this guy because I cannot stand watching
him anymore.
I just see
Luther as a cool, calculating, super intelligent individual. He's just not like nutty and flighty. He's very focused.
Yes.
And he's got
exactly.
He's got he knows yes. his motivations. What he's, he I don't even
he
know
knows
why
his motivations.
Why Eisenberg was even I said I ain't even gonna call him Lex. I don't even know why Eisenberg why he was doing what is he doing. If there was no like, no explanation why he was reanimating.
Correct.
There was nothing
because
there.
Because he's after Superman. We don't need why? Backstory. You guys always complain about backstory and being fed too much, and now you need backstory.
And that whole
Fuck
scene of
guys.
Him explaining that painting and why he put it upside down, I was just like, please shoot
okay,
me
well,
now.
That was there were stupid scenes. There were stupid scenes, but it doesn't make him be a bad
in
actor.
The, when he's in his fundraiser and he goes off on this tangent, everybody's like, this guy's a weirdo. First off, Lex was never a weirdo.
No.
No.
He was always
yes, he
the
was.
Cool guy.
No, yeah. His dad was. That's what I'm saying. Is like his dad was the cool, charismatic,
Father,
calm one.
I think you need
and
to
Lex
stop.
Always tried to be.
The timeline
and so they
was
were
all
just
wrong.
Taking it a little bit. They were
it's
taking
like
a different
like an,
approach.
It's an older Batman and Superman along that.
Okay,
timeline.
Maybe the timeline
and
was
he's
a little
like
off.
A
I will agree with you. Maybe if, the timeline was a little off because
I don't. You know, I don't blame Jesse Eisenberg. I blame Zack Snyder. I think the direction and that's yeah. the biggest problem with that movie.
But if you don't know that, that Lex Luthor is evil.
In it.
That Lex Luthor is evil. If you didn't know that, because he's like, ha ha, I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Anyway, that's it.
This
all right,
the,
we did it in 5 minutes.
This is
we
what's
did
going
five
on.
Minutes.
This is what's going on the internet. Just this last 5 minute second. This is.
We did it in 5 minutes. I'm proud of us. We could do
perfect,
it.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, everybody.
All right. Have a good week.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Get the fuck out of here. Go do something productive with your day.
Yeah. Everyone go and like do a version of Lex Luthor that's better than Jesse Eisenberg's. It'll be an easy day for you. Sorry.
Man.
Have a great week, everybody. Everyone say bye.
Bye.
Thanks
bye.
For having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm the stream, man.
Never actually read the book. Never actually read the book. Never actually read the book. I've never actually read the book. Never read a book from front to back of page to page.